The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Giannis stayed and it paid off. Sometimes, you know, it's better to be lucky than, I don't know, smart. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776, because the smart move would have been for him to go join a super team, right? But maybe everyone's outsmarting themselves. You hear him at the postgame presser. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. We're in a new era, by the way. I've been heralding this era, and I think it's pretty obvious we're in it now. I'm going to get to that in a second. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a new face of the NBA, and his name is Giannis Antetokounmpo. I still don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, by the way. Someone say Antetokounmpo. Go ahead. Say it. Say it, Raj. You know, how do you think you pronounce his last name? He's only you know, the reigning Greek NBA champion. Greek Freak, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, call him Freak. Freak.
Call him Freak. Yeah. Giannis. To have a closeout game at home and to drop 50 with double-digit rebounds and to shoot 90% from the free throw line when you struggle from the free throw line, what can you say? And to play defense to hold like five blocks. It's unbelievable how great a game that was. Was it the greatest closeout game of all time? It was not. But it's in the conversation. Greatest closeout game of all time was Walt Clyde Frazier against Wilt, Jerry West, and Elgin Baylor in 1970. Clyde went for 37-19-7 on 19 assists on, 12 of 17 shooting, perfect from a free throw line, 12 of 12. But, you know, Magic Johnson jumping at center in 1980, 42-17-5 at center. By the way, he entered that season as a 19-year-old rookie. He was 20 at the time he did that. And context matters, you know. This was a year where the Bucks were very lucky that the Nets got hurt, and the Suns were very lucky that both the Lakers and the Clippers got hurt. So that he was not playing, you know, the same kind of team that Clyde Frazier was or Magic was even. Not as good a team. Nor was his team as good. But they're champions because Giannis, every night's the best player on the floor. You know, think about it. Every night he's giving you 30-plus points and double-digit rebounds with blocks and defense and everything. And then in the finals, by the way, then he hyperextends his knee. Right? When you saw Giannis go down with that hyperextended knee, season's over for him, right? No. He misses two games, and his team wins those games. And now think about it like, oh, Giannis, you got to do something. Because otherwise, the story is, you only got to the finals because you were hurt. You couldn't get there before. Then he comes back, and in final six-game final series, three times he goes for over 40 points with double-digit rebounds. Three times? One of those was on the road, and the closeout game, 50? Oh, my God. And then the thing about Giannis is, like, here's the question. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Is he the most likable superstar in sports? He stayed in this, you know, everyone knows the story, and he wanted to play basketball to help his family, and one day he wants to play in the NBA, and all the humility, and a fan gives him a ride to the arena early on because he's lost in Milwaukee, and he has a little two-bedroom apartment and wants to one day be a great with the Bucks and doesn't want to leave. And after he wins, pounds the podium and says, well, first he says, I could have joined a super team. I don't want to mention any names, but that would be easy. I did it the hard way. And then he pounds up. He goes, the right way. For emphasis, he hits the desk in front of him. Is he the most likable superstar? By the way, then he goes to a Chick-fil-A. This is on his Instagram today. Before he puts it on Instagram, he asks the young lady serving him, is it okay if I put you on camera? So, like, he does even that right. She says yes. He then says, "You're 150,000 people are watching you right now." She's like, oh, my gosh. She's obviously delighted but also, like, surprised. And what does he do? After dropping 50 in the finals in a closeout game to win the championship and finals MVP, he orders a 50-piece. He said, I want a 50-piece. He said, not 49 and not 51, exactly 50. This dude is just winning in life right now. If you said who's a champion of the world right now, who's doing it better than anyone else, I think it would come down to, at this moment, Giannis or Tom Brady. I mean, Brady's talking to Biden was pretty funny. Brady shows up to celebrate his Super Bowl at the White House, gives Biden, you know, Biden gets the number 46 jersey from Tom Brady, which is great. 46 president, and Brady, Tom Brady said, you know, he was doubted by so many, the team was doubted by so many. You know, like 40% of the people don't think they won the Super Bowl. He thinks Biden can relate. You know, he was genuinely funny and charming. And that's the only person in sports now, I think. Oh, I guess Ohtani, too. If you're talking about, like, who's – but you know, Ohtani hasn't won the championship yet. And Brady's a likable guy, but I don't know if anyone beats Giannis. Right? I think Giannis is the king of sports right now at this moment. And it is true. They would – I'm telling you right now, surely would have lost in a sweep and by an average margin of over 20 points to the Nets. That was the first two games. They won the third game, but remember – it was just KD and Kyrie. Harden wasn't even playing yet. If you had KD, Kyrie, and Harden, they would have had to end it in three games. Like, they were so much better than the Bucks. But Kyrie is frequently not available. Harden was, you know, a little out of shape, and to start his tenure with the Nets and all that, and that's the way it goes. They took Giannis and the Bucks took advantage of the opportunity. And he talk about the journey. Like, he gets he gets to the playoffs and he's a reigning MVP, but he can't get past into the conference finals. And then it happens again, and maybe he doesn't have the kind of game that can translate to championships. And then this, keeping the team together, bringing in Drew Holiday, the right kind of players. What a success story. Giannis on his journey to this moment at the Bucks press conference.
Started playing basketball just to help my family. Tried to get them out of the struggle, the challenges we were facing when we were kids. But, man, I never thought, I'm going to be 26 years old, with my team, playing the NBA Finals, just playing. And, like, I was just happy just being a part, not even winning, just being a part of this journey, and but I never thought ever when I'll be 26, I'll be sitting in this chair with this right here and this right here. Man, we've come a long way.
As a parent of three girls, I'm sure other parents can relate to this. You want to raise kids to be responsible, contributing adults, right? The right kind of people. You want to raise a kid to grow up to be someone like Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? That's the kind of, character you want in your own kids. Like, he is on top of the world right now. I'm just trying to think who's in the conversation, not just for winning in life in sports right now, but like, who's the champion of sports? I say Giannis, and the competition is Brady and Ohtani. But who's the most likable superstar in sports? Is there anyone close to Giannis? And that was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. By the way, the post-game presser that I referred to when he hits the desk the right way, he said, I don't want to mention any names. I could just go join a super team. That's easy. Who was he talking about? A lot of people think it was KD. I don't think it was. He already said KD is the best player in the world, right? And by the way, KD almost single-handedly knocked those guys out this year. He's talking about James Harden. I think he's talking about James Harden. And the rumors were he didn't want Harden to join him on the Bucks. I think he's talking about James Harden, right? I mean, does he make it harder for, like, Chris Paul, for example, to ring chase and go to the Lakers? Because understand, Lakers fans, Lakers don't have a shot against a healthy Nets team. And the Lakers are the second-best team in basketball. If everyone's healthy, Nets are one, Lakers are two. But Nets are one by so much, Lakers don't have a chance. They don't have a chance. Don't believe what you heard. They don't have a chance. Now, if Chris Paul winds up on the Lakers, and remember, he has an opt-out. Now, let me see. Kyrie, James Harden, KD. Chris Paul, LeBron, AD. Oh, that's 50-50. Who knows who wins that? And Chris Paul could make that happen if he was to forego some cash for his legacy, right? But Giannis even saying what he said makes it hard for these guys to ring chase. Doesn't it make it hard for these guys to ring chase? He did it the right way. By the way, no other Bucks player scored more than 17 points last night. Giannis had 50, 17 of 19 from the free throw line, 5 blocks. So dominant on both ends. And one of the reasons, I think, a lot of people will say LeBron and KD are better than Giannis, and I believe they are. If I had to say 1, 2, 3 right now, it's LeBron, KD, Giannis in that order. But the title is not undisputed. Like, LeBron had the undisputed crown for a long time. He just got hurt. He usually uses the playoffs to prove that by the end he's the best. And a couple of years ago, I said, no, Kawhi's the best now, because LeBron wouldn't have the playoffs because he didn't have AD yet. Lonzo got hurt. LeBron got hurt. They missed the playoffs. And what I learned from that experience, because LeBron was still, given his age and everything, I figured, okay, he's slowing down. But when LeBron got healthy and got help, he won the title, you know, the next year. So what I learned from that is until LeBron has a chance to defend his title with a healthy team, I'm not ready to strip him of the crown. But what I can say is the title's in dispute. He's got a piece of it, but he don't have the undisputed title. And the guys disputing LeBron James's claim right now are KD and Giannis. Those are the two guys disputing the claim. And by the way, I guess you could also make an argument for Jokic, Embiid, or Harden. But KD and Giannis are the two big ones. And one of the things about LeBron and KD is LeBron is 260 pounds. KD is almost 7 feet tall. But they have perimeter games. So we think of them as perimeter players, even though physically they're bigs. We're in an era of bigs. Think about this. Giannis was the MVP 3 seasons ago of the regular season. 2 seasons ago, he repeated his MVP. This time won Defensive Player of the Year. Only Hakeem and Michael Jordan had ever done that. But he fizzled out in the playoffs both times. Part of it was Budenholzer's schemes. Part of it was Giannis's development. Part of it was the help he had or didn't have. This year, who won MVP? So, and Giannis is a big. He's a big dressed up as a wing. Forget about if he's a center or not. If you do your business in the paint and you defend the rim, you're a big. It's not the only way to be a big. Like, Jokic is also a big. Not a great rim defender and can do more than just score in the paint. But if you do your business in the paint and you defend the rim, you're a big. Giannis is a big. He's also some other stuff, but he's a big. Back-to-back MVPs. And then this year, he had the same numbers as the last 2 years, more or less. But they didn't give him MVP. They had Giannis fatigue, and he fizzled in the playoffs. People remember that, whatever they say. You know who won MVP? Jokic. You know who he won it over? Embiid. Giannis is a big. Jokic is a big. Embiid is a big. You know who could have, who did win finals MVP this year? Giannis. You know who could have won it last year? AD. Big, 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 big. Giannis, Embiid, Jokic, AD. And the two other guys in the conversation, as much as we hear it's the era of the point guard, the two other guys really in the conversation are LeBron and KD. And while their games are not games of bigs, they are, in fact, physically bigs. If you're 6'8", 260-plus pounds, where I come from, that's a big. Back in the day, that's a big. And KD's almost 7 feet. So it's four bigs monopolizing the MVP and finals MVP. You know, AD could have gotten it. I'm cheating a little bit there. Over the last 3 years. And the two that aren't bigs are physically bigs. We're in a golden era. All we ever hear about is the point guards. But actually, we're in a golden era of bigs. That's the truth. You know why Steph Curry couldn't get over the LeBron hump? I mean, he did in 2015, but that's only because LeBron's guys got injured. Steph Curry's short. LeBron's big. LeBron would have beaten him in 2015 easily. They went 6 games without Kevin Love or Kyrie. Beat him in 2016 when they had the death lineup. And Steph couldn't win, really, honest, head-to-head, really, until he wasn't the best player on the team anymore, until they brought in a 7-footer with guard skills in that case, but KD. LeBron had AD last year. It's the way it goes. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776, Isaiah in Washington. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, hey, Max. Thanks for having me. It's Ivan, by the way, but it's okay.
Ivan, yeah, well, Raj turned Ivan into Isaiah. Good job, Raj. Go ahead, Ivan.
Hey, so...
No, I'm not going to call him Isaiah, Raj. I don't know why you would suggest that. His name is Ivan. Go ahead, Ivan.
Yeah, congratulations to Giannis and the Bucks, but like you said, I'm not ready to crown him yet until he goes through the finals through the team's healthy teams. I feel like the Suns kind of dropped the ball there late in the series. They're doing a lot of ISOs, which I didn't really understand that because that they weren't doing that with the Lakers.
Well, okay, so, you know what? Let's get to that. Let's get to that. The issue with, you know, Devin Booker, I called him Mini Mamba, and Stephen A. said he's the next Kobe Bryant, and Booker came out and said, don't compare me to Kobe. But of course we're going to compare him to Kobe. Like, he's not as close to Kobe as Kobe was to Jordan, but Kobe was compared to Jordan, and Booker's going to be compared to Kobe because his offensive style reminds you of Kobe, including when the game gets tight late and important, he gets tunnel vision a little too much. He needs a little more Jordan in his game and a little less Kobe in that situation because Kobe, the best bad shot maker ever, would want to take on Godzilla in that situation. You know, Godzilla versus King Kong? He'd take on Godzilla and King Kong. And sometimes if Godzilla and King Kong are teaming up on you and Rodan comes over to triple team you, there's an open guy. You know, there are three guys on you. There's someone open. Find the open man. You don't have to just try to score just because you're great at it. Jordan hit Paxson. Jordan hit Kerr. Right, he hit the open man. If the open man was a shooter, he hit that guy. That guy took the last shot. Jordan was fine with that. And Booker needs to be more fine with it. CP3 was open a bunch of times on the perimeter. Crowder, Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges, guys who can shoot and aren't afraid to shoot. And Booker was not moving the ball well enough. And by the way, I think he's going to learn from it. If you heard him at the post-game presser, he was devastated by it and talked. And I believe it'll make him a better player. But that's what happened. Both these teams had golden opportunities to win. They were both the healthiest in their conferences heading into the finals, which is why they won, why they got there. And then ultimately, the healthier team, the Bucks, beat the slightly less healthy team. Something was up with Chris Paul. And also, Saric wasn't there. And that was a bigger blow than the Bucks missing, what's his name, the great college player who... Roger, I can't think of his name right now. DiVincenzo. There it is. That was ultimately a bigger deal than the Bucks missing DiVincenzo. And many of the games came down to the wire. The Suns could have won this in six games, too. But the Bucks made the plays, and the Suns didn't down the stretch. You know, Booker and CP3 did not make the plays down the stretch. Middleton and Drew Holiday did. And obviously, Giannis was the best player in the series. Like, there's a reason that Chris Paul once in a while gets mentioned on the outskirts of an MVP conversation, why Booker has never, why DeAndre Ayton has never, why Middleton has never, why Drew Holiday has never. None of these guys are MVP candidates, except maybe Booker might be in the future, maybe candidates even. And Chris Paul sort of is sometimes a top five, maybe. Giannis has won back-to-back MVPs. So in other words, the best player in the series by a whole lot. Was Giannis, and usually that guy's team wins if he has help, and Giannis did have help compared to the Suns, not compared to Kevin Durant with the Nets if they were healthy, but compared to Chris Paul with the Suns. Speaking of Chris Paul, focus on the offseason turns to him because he can be a free agent by declining his player option, $44.2 million. Campaign's a free agent. They need the rookie extensions for DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges. So what does it mean for Chris Paul? He did have the game of his life in Game 6 to make the finals. What does it mean for CP3 that he finally made the finals?
For me, it just means back to work. Back to work. You know, none more, none less. Ain't no moral victories or whatnot. We sort of saw what it takes to get there. And, you know, hopefully we see what it takes to get, you know, past that.
What it takes is... you and Devin Booker playing better, Chris. I mean, like, let's be honest. I was really rooting for the Suns in this game because I didn't want to see Chris Paul go out like that. And he played pretty well, but let's not just say, like, DeAndre Ayton was tight. Chris Paul was tight, too. He was missing mid-ranges that are usually chip shots for him, clanging off the rim early. Neither team could really buy a bucket, but Chris Paul was really off early. Chris Paul plays better in a couple of those games. Suns are champions, and he knows that. 888-SAY-ESPN, Matt in Connecticut. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. Love the show.
Thank you, brother.
I'm tired of these guys trying to discredit the Bucks. Man, they won it fair and square. They stayed healthy. Giannis hyperextended the knee. He came back. I'm tired of it, man. I'm tired of hearing it.
Not these guys. Me. Tell me. I'm the guy saying, I'm the guy discrediting it. I mean, it's great that they won, but last year's bubble produced the right champion. Lakers were the best. They won. This year is the year of the asterisk. Not that the Bucks aren't real champions. You're right. They persevered. They played team ball. Giannis played through an injury. All those things. Or came back from an injury. But the fact of the matter is the best team didn't win. The healthiest team won. And you could say, well, a lot of times teams are banged up. Not like this year. This year, all the things LeBron James said were true about the condensed schedule and guys potentially being hurt. AD couldn't play. Therefore, the Suns won. Kawhi couldn't play. Therefore, the Suns won. Jamal Murray couldn't play. Maybe the Suns beat the Nuggets. I don't know. But it would have been a different kind of series. In the Eastern Conference, First, James Harden, and then Kyrie couldn't play. Therefore, and only because of that, the Bucks won. And it's blatant. It's obvious. Like, the Bucks couldn't even compete with the Nets when Kyrie and KD were healthy without Harden. They surely would have had no shot at all if Harden was also healthy and Kyrie stayed healthy. No shot at all. So the healthiest team won. They deserve a lot of credit for the teamwork. Giannis persevered. He had an all-time great playoffs, not just finals. But if you want me to tell you that this season produced the champion was the best team, we know that's not the case. The champion was the healthiest team. This is the Max Kellerman Show coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. And believe me, when I say that, I know I'm being that guy today. I know I am. I don't take pleasure in it. I just have to tell you the truth. What do I have? I didn't play in the NBA. You know how I make a living? By telling you the truth. Is Giannis now the face of the NBA? I'm contending he is. Am I right or wrong? The franchise is next. Friends, demand for unskilled workers is sky high. Who wants that life? You want to have be an unskilled worker? You know what they get paid compared to skilled workers? Because there's demand for hundreds of thousands of IT and cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. And my computer career is training people to meet it. Get skilled. They're making robots that can do unskilled work. Now you got to get skilled. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and program those robots. No, and take the free career evaluation. You can start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. This is something Raj can really start considering. I'm going to replace him with a robot pretty soon. You got to get some skilled labor, Raj. You should consider becoming an IT pro or a pro at something.
Freaking read.
Through July, grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. Rod, you can do it. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
You on ESPN Plus, also SiriusXM Channel 80. Giannis stayed and it paid off. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. And on the Goodyear Hotline, a man who will never know the joy of rooting for a team that's won a championship, as Milwaukee fans know now. Not even if the best, 10 teams were all destroyed by injury. CP the franchise, NBA analyst and Knicks fan TV. Listen, we're talking championships, so we're not talking about the Knicks, CP. Although, this finals closeout performance by Giannis CP is up there with Magic Johnson in 1980, and Clyde Frazier in 1970 among the top, let's say, five or six of all time. My vote will go to Clyde or Magic. But, okay, so you did get a Knicks mention in there. Your impressions of Giannis respect. And the Bucks after last night?
I thought, based on what I've seen, it's the greatest finals performance ever. I mean, when you factor in 50 points, 14 rebounds, 5 block shots, and not only that, 17 of 19 from the free throw line. The Greek Freak came in determined. He was hell-bent on delivering the first championship in Milwaukee in the last 50 years, and he got the job done. Phoenix had no answers for him. They went with Ayton in the beginning. Ayton was completely shell-shocked on both ends. Yeah. He was giving up the angles to the Freak. Giannis was able to draw fouls on Ayton. They went to Crowder. Crowder had no answers for him. He was just hell-bent. It was the best finals performance I've ever seen on two ways. You know, I've never seen someone give that much effort on the offensive end and the defensive end for 48 minutes. It was incredible.
I hear that. And also 40-plus points with double-digit rebounds in three different games in a six-game series, ending with 50 and all that. The only thing I'll say is context matters, CP. And I'm not – like, Giannis is the most likable superstar in any sport right now, worldwide. He is the face of the NBA at the moment. He is the reigning finals MVP, richly deserved. And he had an amazing closeout game. It was a game 6 at home on a team that had no business in the finals. We all know Brooklyn was destroying them without a healthy team. Destroying them. And then they had an even less healthy team. And that is the only reason the Bucks weren't swept, is because Brooklyn wasn't healthy. Otherwise, they would have been swept and lost, like, in a four-game series, they would have won no games and lost by a total of about 100 points in four games. I mean, that's how much better the Nets were. And they were playing a Suns team that would have lost to the Lakers and the Clippers, pretty obviously, had those teams been healthy. They were losing both. They were losing to the Lakers, and the Clippers went six games without even Kawhi. So context matters when Clyde Frazier, also 37-19-7, or 36-19-7, against Wilt, Jerry West, and Elgin Baylor in a game seven of the finals, right? 12 for 12 from the free throw line, 12 of 17 from the field, but it's way, way up there. Do you now, like, where do you now rank Giannis among today's greats? Is he the best player in the game? Second, third? Where do you have him?
I'll put him third. I'm going to put KD one. Mm-hmm. I'll put LeBron two. And I'll put the Greek Freak third. I mean, his accomplishments thus far, where he was drafted, a two-time MVP, most improved player, defensive player of the year, and now a finals MVP, and a two-way player. Very important.
Yeah.
Two-way player. The guy was so dominant last night, it was unreal. So I'll put him third for right now, but he's right up there with those guys.
Something else occurs to me, CP. We're in an era of the big. Like, quiet is kept. I keep hearing about the point guard. But CP,
yeah.
Giannis wants consecutive... he won back-to-back regular season MVPs. He didn't three-peat because he's a big. Jokic, a big, beat out Embiid, a big, for that distinction. And last year, AD, a big, could have easily won MVP. LeBron and KD are the guys you put over Giannis just now. And while they play like perimeter players, LeBron's 260 pounds. KD's almost 7 feet tall. Why do you think we're calling this the era of the point guard when the bigs are dominating?
Well, I think it's because the NBA is about the flash. And when you think about that, you think about Steph Curry and lighting him up from three and James Harden. You have Westbrook. You have Kyrie. The perimeter players are always going to get that shine. But as you said, the big man has to get respect. You look at the Greek Freak's performance in this finals. Last year was Anthony Davis.
Yep.
This year you had Jokic winning the MVP. Embiid was right there.
Yeah.
As you said, you have LeBron, you have KD, who you could consider, you know, front court players as well. So they certainly deserve their respect.
It's one thing is, while it wasn't the best teams playing in these finals, it was one of the best finals you can think of. Like, it was incredibly dramatic. So much on the line for guys like Chris Paul, for guys like Giannis. You could see guys developing. Like you mentioned, Ayton had a bad last game, but was very good throughout most of the playoffs. Devin Booker, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday. Like, the storylines with Budenholzer and Monty Williams, and how many of the games came down to the wire. Chris Paul did come up short. He had an awful blunder at the end of Game 5, fouling Giannis when he had no chance to stop him from scoring. It was a dangerous play, and he gave the Bucks the ball back on the free throw line, down already 3 points. Like, that sealed the game. And yet, he had a fantastic season, and at times a great postseason, at times. He has an opt-out, CP. Do you think he stays in Phoenix? And if he does, do they have a shot next year? Or does he go to the Lakers, forego that money, and go to the Lakers ring chase, which Giannis is admonishing players against? But if CP3 is on the Lakers with AD and LeBron, now you don't know who's going to win the chip next year, even if the Nets are healthy, right? What do you do if you're CP3?
Well, first off, it was one of my favorite finals because the Nets were eliminated early, and I didn't have to come on the show every week and talk to you ad nauseum about them. So it was fantastic. I enjoyed it on my lazy boy and took it all in. Now, for CP3, I don't see him ditching Devin Booker and Phoenix after one season and going to L.A. Yes, he and LeBron are best friends, but, you know, CP3 chose Phoenix for the opportunity to play with Book. He resurrected that franchise, brought him to their first NBA Finals in a long time. And listen, he was 19-9 in the playoffs, averaged 50% from the field, 45 from three, 88 from the free throw line. Oof. 4-1 assist to turnover ratio. I don't think he abandons his team and goes ring chasing. He had a huge impact on Booker, Ayton. You had Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson having career seasons with CP3 at the helm. I think he stays and tries to get back there, but I'm not necessarily sure he gets back there.
Yeah.
Because they were fortunate to get there, beating an unhealthy Laker team, beating an unhealthy Clipper team.
Right.
Denver, I thought they would have beaten even with Murray, but they were fortunate. They weren't necessarily the best team. They were the most fortunate team and the healthiest team at the time.
The only thing is, if you put yourself in CP3's shoes, and they're telling me I have to break CP, but yeah. You're CP1 or 4 or something. You're not CP3. But
that's
you're,
right.
You're put some respect like, on you. I'm thinking if I'm Chris Paul and I'm in my mid-30s and I'm looking at the end, I mean, he can still play at a high level, but there's a super-duper team in Brooklyn. I mean, that's just what it is. No one has a shot, including the Lakers, if they're healthy. If Chris Paul goes and the biggest impediment may be giving up $40 million, right? Like, what can the Lakers afford to pay him? But if Chris Paul goes to L.A. and joins LeBron and AD, now if everyone's healthy, we really don't know who wins the finals next year, even with a healthy Brooklyn team. And otherwise, no one's got a shot. So if I'm Chris Paul and I'm looking at a career without a championship, they can say I'm ring chasing, but while I'm still great, you know, this is not Gary Payton joining the Heat. While Miami, I'm still great, I might want to go get that ring, even if Giannis is making fun of dudes like me. I might want to do it, CP. And by the way, we never have to worry about talking about the Knicks this time of year anyway, so... No one got hurt on the Knicks where it made a difference. None of that stuff matters.
We're on the road to 2021-2022 season. We're starting with our draft coverage, free agency coming up.
Yeah,
we're just building right now. We're trying to be the next Bucks team and get ready for when the Nets, you know, little run is derailed. Yep. We'll be right there and be next up.
I agree with you. If you say 30-31, maybe it's possible. The great CP, the franchise, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, CP. Always love talking to you. Coming up,
thanks.
Brady doesn't do this often. Hear who he compared himself to. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Tom Brady compares himself to Gretzky and Michael Jordan as the free agent catch before last season. And he does not normally describe himself in that kind of way. So he was asked about that whole thing. Remember when he said, really, you're going to go with that blanky blanker? Right? Expletive, instead of me, in other words. Like, and who was he talking about? Was he talking about Garoppolo, Derek Carr? Quote, there's private things for me that are going to remain motivational for me, Brady said in an interview with Jim Gray via the Boston Herald. Quote, they know who they are. It's fine. Everyone has a choice to choose. I think what you realize is there's not as many smart people as you think. That's just the reality. I think it'd be a no-brainer if you said, hey, you got a chance to get Wayne Gretzky on your team, or you got a chance to have Michael Jordan on your team. Oh, we don't need him. No, thanks. We're good. So, as I said, Tom Brady said that in an interview with Jim Gray for a SiriusXM town hall event on Wednesday, with quotes obtained by the Boston Herald. Brady he has absolutely every right to compare himself to Gretzky and Jordan in terms of the position he occupies in his sport. He's the GOAT because of how many championships he's won. The only thing I would say is that as great as Brady's been, Gretzky, who didn't win more championships than anyone once he left Edmonton, he didn't win any championships. Gretzky, though, eyeball test, people watched him and said, okay, that's the best we've ever seen. Like, he was like magical. And Michael Jordan, in addition to winning all the championships, was also eyeballs on him. That's the best we've ever seen. It's pretty obvious. Brady's different. Brady won all the championships. He did it with Belichick. And it's not like when watching him, he said, oh, it's the best ever. Remember, through the early part of his career, most people said, yeah, Peyton Manning's better, but somehow you'd rather have Brady. But how much of that is really just an illusion created by Belichick? Now, he left New England, I would think, partly to prove otherwise, right? He did a great job. But the Bucks were loaded. Loaded. They weren't like, okay, they were loaded. Every team that wins a championship is loaded. But still, even last year, Brady, when you watched him, you didn't say he's as good as Mahomes or Rodgers. Now, maybe there's subtler skill involved in quarterbacking that I'm not giving Brady enough credit for. Leadership, decision-making. He may be the best decision-maker ever. He quickly makes the best, you know, the more optimal decision than anyone else. Closer to the optimal decision than anyone else more quickly. And maybe that's the number one attribute and he has it. But Jordan and Gretzky is not the greatest winner ever, because again, once he left Edmonton, you know, Messier won with the Rangers. Where did Gretzky win a championship after he left? But to be Jordan, you not only have to win more championships than anyone else, you not only have to never not win the championship, because every time Jordan had a chance to win the championship, he did it in under seven games, right? Every time. Flawless. But also when your eyeballs were on him, you were like, okay, no one's as good as Jordan. Like to this day, I mean, people talk about LeBron, that's because they're forgetting. If you lived through Jordan, when your eyes were on him, you knew it. Like, I've watched Kobe, I've watched LeBron, I've watched Durant. No one's as good as Jordan. Just eyeball test, no one's as good as Jordan. And then the stats back it up, and then the championships back it up. That would be as though Brady's resume was combined with, like, Aaron Rodgers or Mahomes' talent. That's Jordan. Just because you're the GOAT of your sport doesn't make you Michael Jordan. The GOAT of all GOATs. But Brady is winning right now. Like, seven championships out of 10. The century is only 21 years old. He has been in half of all championships and won 70% of the championships he's been in. So it's 2021. He's been in 10 and won 7. He's won a third of all championships played in this century. In this century! Oh, my God. And he is winning in life. Listen to him talk with President Biden on his trip to the White House because they won the Super Bowl.
We got on a roll. Not a lot of people, you know, think that we could have won. In fact, I think about 40% of the people still don't think we won.
I understand that.
You understand that, Mr. President?
I understand that.
Yeah. And personally, you know, it's nice for me to be back here. We had a game in Chicago where I forgot what down it was. I lost track of one down in 21 years of playing, and they started calling me Sleepy Tom.
I mean, he's delivering, the material's great, he's delivering it great. You just got to tip your cap to him, he's on top of the world. Giannis, Brady, and Otani right now are I think, winning. Those are the three. 888-SAY-ESPN, are the Bucks the true champs? Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.